Welcome, everybody. What a joy it is to be gathered here and now in the Spirit of our God. What a wonder it is to know that despite who we have been and because of who we are becoming, God, true God, is here with us. Hallelujah. Sisters, brothers, whether you are here in this house or listening in another, let us worship together today. For the love of God is alive, and it is overwhelming, and it is quickening this body even now. So let us sing together in fullest voice. Please turn and sing the story to number 92. Sing with all the saints in glory, and let us stand in body or spirit. What a beautiful, cloudy, rainy day it is. Our call to worship today is a poem in praise of the humble dandelion. What a wonderland we have in spring when the dandelion reigns in peace. What a noxious weed we take for a king, the one who sings with golden tongues everywhere, everyone. Should enjoy the shine of the sun, should learn to become more beautiful, should be free to ride the wind. The dandelion does not prefer the stillness of the forest floor, the shelter of the ancients, the safety of their shade. It thrives instead where all is uprooted, roadsides and pathways in the in-between, where war horses will trample, where soldiers will march, where refugees will run to new homes, where the soil isn't good enough for anyone to care, where they will hear the dying traveler's moans, So look down, disciples, and see at your feet this weed that shows us the way. It breaks the silence of winter with a shout from the margin. We may be trampled now, we may be despised, but the glory of God is in this: to line with golden praises the way that Jesus is still walking, to make the hard places shine, to put down our roots anywhere we can cling, and know that we bloom with the one we call King. Church, please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day that you are making. Thank you for the saints gathered here and there and everywhere right now. The earth is full of the glory of God. This is the lesson that the flowers are singing to us today. And God, it's raining right now, but those clouds will be breaking, the storms will be ending, and we are ready to bloom. Help us to stand in joy, to know your everlasting peace in every moment of today. And be with us here as we lift our hearts and our voices and our hands and each other in worship for you. In your holy name, amen. People of God, we continue singing our praises in the same book, Sing the Story. Please turn to number 33. Let justice roll like a river.
And those who are able, please stand, and we will sing the refrain to start, and then verses 1, 2, and 5. Verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
And now in the green, sing the journey book, number 15, Santo. We'll sing three times, English, then Spanish, then English.
We've come now to our time of confession. I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer today by saying the words, "The days are surely coming," when I motion like this. Let's try it.
The days are surely coming.
Good. Let's pray. Oh, merciful God, hear our prayer. For the days are surely coming when our bodies will dwindle into death, when all our relations will cry out in mourning because our love, once living, is moving into your mystery. For the days are surely coming when we will grow tired of our cross. We will look longingly at the broader path. We will cling to security instead of our Savior. For the days are surely coming, O God, when we will watch the door shut on one of your children, and we won't know what to do with our power. God, we won't know what to do. For the days are surely coming, O God, when we will become convinced that you are not growing, because the ice is all melting and the trees are all burning, the demons are winning, and he's probably still in the tomb. For the days are surely coming, O God, when we will try our own ways to heal. We'll forget to look up at your snake in the desert. We'll forget that you love enough to save. But we know the days are also surely coming, O God, when you will still be by our side, calling us into your love. The days are also surely coming, O God, when the tomb will be found empty and we will be set free into that mystery.
The days
and we know the days are also surely coming, O God, when you will save us again from our sinfulness, our pride and our lust and our stubbornness, and your tears and our tears will all wash us clean, and all that is left is your love. All that is left is your love. Amen. Family of God, please rise to hear these words of assurance. People of God, the days that are coming are already here, and we find ourselves at the end of the spear of God's love. We have been pierced by peace. We have been saved by grace. We are full of living water, and we are living eternal life now. Let us press on in the work of making peace by speaking to each other here and now these words. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please spread the peace of Christ. Okay, as you're finding your seats, we've reached the high point of the service today. All children are welcome to come forward for a children's message from Sarah Thompson. So kids, come on down. Let's welcome them with a song.
Welcome. Here is the basket, and when you put your money in it, it's going to go to good work in this community, and when you put your prayers in it, it's going to help that good work, so you can touch it, or you can put some money in it. Thank you for your prayers and your contribution. Did you all celebrate Earth Day at school? Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite plant or animal?
Yeah.
What is it?
A domesticated rabbit earth fox.
Yeah, domesticated rabbit earth fox. Cool. What about you? A favorite flower or favorite element? Yeah. Well, one of my favorites, we've already talked about it today, is a dandelion. Have you seen a dandelion before? What color are they?
Yellow.
Yellow? Yeah, and so you can see them from far away. I think that Jesus loved the earth. I think Jesus would have really liked Earth Day. He might have even been in the science march or the people's climate march. That was yesterday. Where so many people came together. Yes. I think this because in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, it said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so it's a message for right here. So dandelions, they're everywhere, but most people don't plant them because they're a weed. They come up by themselves. But when you see them, how do you feel? Do you feel sad there's a dandelion or happy?
Happy.
More happy? What about you? Ambivalent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. What happens when a dandelion gets old?
It turns white.
Yeah. Before it dies, it turns white. So it was like yellow, and then it goes gray. That's like some of those people out there. They used to have yellow hair. Then they went gray. Just like them. Yeah, yeah. But they don't just die. What happens before that? What happens? Have you ever picked a dandelion that is already gray?
There's seeds on it.
Yeah. And if you blow it, what happens?
The seeds go away.
They go all over the place, yeah. And so before it dies, it spreads. It spreads its joy.
Yeah.
So the little yellow flowers will come up everywhere else. And so the whole life of the dandelion, first it's growing, it's green and yellow, yeah, and then it blossoming, the yellow part comes, and then it's spreading when it's gray. So its whole life is about spreading joy. And the metaphor here is that the Christian life is like that too. It's all about growing and blossoming and then spreading. And we can do it anywhere. Because dandelions show up everywhere. Sometimes where we're not wanted. Are Christians weeds? I don't know. But we are everywhere. We just keep spreading around and blossoming wherever we're planted and looking for good soil. And we hope that we can be good soil here at this church for you all to bloom really, really big. So this week, every time you see a dandelion, remember that it's an invitation for you to help in God's kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you see that dandelion, it's a reminder of you, invitation to you to spread joy, be beautiful, and grow. You have any questions? Any thoughts? You know what a dandelion is, right? So when you see them, you can remember this moment together, that we're all here blossoming. And even though you don't go to the same school, you'll know that there are people in other places that are spreading joy. Let's pray. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Let's pray. Cool. Creator God, thank you for loving the earth. Thank you for loving these children. Thank you for loving this place. Please help us to grow and bloom and spread in you. Amen. Thank you.
Revelation to John. Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures call out, as with a voice of thunder, "Come!" I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer.
Apocalypse, capítulo 6. Versículos 1 a 8. Vi cuando el Cordero abrió uno de los sellos y oí a uno de los cuatro seres vivientes decir como con voz de trueno, ven y mira. Y miré, y he aquí un caballo blanco, y el que lo montaba tenía un arco y le fue dada una corona, y salió venciendo y para vencer.
When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another, and he was given a great sword.
Cuando abrió el segundo sello, oí al segundo ser viviente que decía, "Ven y mira." Y salió otro caballo, bermejo, y al que lo montaba le fue dado poder de quitar de la tierra la paz, y que se matasen unos a otros. Y se le dio una gran espada.
When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, "Come!" I looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine."
Cuando abrió el tercer sello, Oí al tercer ser viviente que decía, ven y mira. Y miré, y he aquí un caballo negro. Y el que lo montaba tenía una balanza en la mano. Y oí una voz de en medio de los cuatro seres vivientes que decía, 2 libras de trigo por 1 denario, y 6 libras de cebada por 1 denario, pero no dañes el aceite ni el vino.
When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, come. I looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed with him. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth.
Cuando abrió el cuarto sello, oí la voz del cuarto ser viviente que decía, ven y mira. Miré, y he aquí un caballo amarillo, y el que lo montaba tenía por nombre Muerte, y el Hades le seguía. Y le fue dada potestad sobre la cuarta parte de la tierra, para matar con espada, con hambre, con mortandad, y con las fieras de la tierra.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
Our preacher this morning is Sarah Thompson. Sarah is a daughter and a granddaughter of this congregation. She is one of the blessed pioneers who established the Jubilee household next door. And she currently serves as executive director of Christian Peacemaker Teams, residing some of the time in Chicago. Let's pray for our sister. Oh God, you have tongues of fire to give out. We're asking for one of those now. May the words of Sarah's mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the season of spring cleaning and dandelions, Earth Day and People's Climate March. This is a moment. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's really good to be back with you today, members of this body of Christ who raised me, who are still raising me. And, you know, it was in 2003, after my first year at Spelman College, that I returned here in the summer and you invited me to represent you or to be an extension of Prairie Streets learning and sharing with the global body at Menai World Conference in Zimbabwe. And that's when I met thousands of members of our global Mennonite family and the administrators of Menai World Conference as well. And I stayed in touch with them ever since. And so then in 2006, at that point, that's my senior year of university, I sat in the meeting where I listened to the representatives from over 55 countries develop the shared convictions of which we're talking about one today, and those will be part of the sermons coming up. And so I remember that deep discussion. I remember the listening, the disagreement, and I have mental images of the diversity of the Brethren in Christ, Mennonite, and Anabaptist family. And so there's a lot of process behind that 6-point product there. And now, just because it's written down doesn't mean the conversation is over. From this touch point, we can examine what is the Spirit calling the people to at this moment. For me, that shared convictions document, it reminds us of our connection to the body. So in 1 Corinthians 12, for example, where the foot is saying, you know, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. The writer of Corinthians says, no, like,
every part of the body matters. And if the ear said, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to part of the body, I just go to some small church, still, it is a part of the body. Because if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. So there's this beautiful image, we're one. We're one. We're one. Now in seminary, down the road, they told us not to preach the sermon before you preach the sermon, but I'm gonna say it up front and then circle back. I gotta say it now because the landfill was on fire, because the moment is urgent. I can't wait. As we see ourselves as part of a convicted body of Christians and other people of faith, I think we can extend the metaphor. Our body is not only human. Just as we are one body of believers, we are one body with this earth. Genesis says we were created out of the same material. And this breath that's in your lungs right now, this breath connects us to all living things. The sunshine and the waters are siblings that absolutely sustain us. And right now, the oceans and the atmosphere need our care and attention. For the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But that's exactly what we are hearing in the national rhetoric. I won't repeat it for you right now, that hate speech. But we're seeing violence at the hands of officials, anti-immigration legislation, the use and then dismissal of the white working class. We're seeing police violence, assassination of human rights defenders. The human body is like breaking apart. And this is reflected in our relationship with creation, with the environment. Just as the eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you, we cannot say to the trees, I have no need of you. Because as we learn in school, like the children learning right now, that as we exhale, the plants are inhaling. And as they exhale, we inhale. And there's just such a connection. And even here in Revelation, where we're going, the images are that our humble bodies are in symbiotic balance with the elements. That's part of the goal of our faith. The leaves of the trees, it says in Revelation, are for the healing of the nations. It requires a renewing of our minds to see our connection with all that is, and a deepening of our discipleship, a courageous one, for we have been taught to be separate. Part of healing that separation and healing the brokenness is to name it. And those who are experiencing it know it. And those who might not directly experience it must be willing to ask the question of those who are most impacted by violence so that we can see the wounds as well and we can respond. And this month of April, 50 years ago in 1967, is when Martin Luther King Jr., along with Vincent Harding, someone who spent time with the Mennonites, came together to write a speech that spoke very much to the brokenness that they saw at this moment. In April of 1967, a year to the date of when he was assassinated the next year, King warned the nation of the type of tendency of this separation. He remarked that a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. When machines and computers, profit motives and property rights are more important than people, the giant triplets of racism, militarism, and economic exploitation, materialism, are incapable of being conquered. That's what he said. That was 1967. How many of you were alive when King spoke those words? Raise your hand. Keep them up. Okay, those of you who are not alive, look around. These are your folks to talk to ask them, what were they doing? What did they think? What did they hear? And indeed, we are seeing and have seen the ripples of violence around the world due to the imperial desires of nations, led in many ways by this country, which houses about 6% of the world's population, but consumes over 40% of the world's resources, where almost half of the food supply that is produced goes to waste, whose military-industrial complex is the size of the next three nations combined, putting a lot of extreme pressure on families. And white supremacist and privileged thinking continues to plague us, to plague our theology, even as bold movements on college campuses and the streets resist this suffocating grip. And it's in this context that the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride. A revelation I learned back in 2001 in the MIF room from Nelson. We studied Revelation. And we learned then, and I can return to it now, that in Greek, apocalypsis, you know, it's often seen to be a book of spiritual doom and gloom, who's in and who's left out. It's no wonder that we don't study it often, but I'm grateful for those in our midst who led us as young people to think about this book in a new way. To look at how the fledgling movement of the renewal that Jesus was pointing towards and the revelation that he embodied and the revolution of values that he was calling for, how that was present almost as like a secret message throughout this book and this dream. And I learned too from that time, pay attention to your dreams. They might be a message. This apocalypsis really meaning a couple of things. Unmasking, exposing what's going on. And also a revealing of what can be. It's an alert. The world is about to turn. Something is about to give. Something is changing. And we have to see what we're facing in order to make it possible to manifest what those hopes are. And so what can we see from this Revelation passage based on what we learned from Dr. King, based on what we know from the rest of the biblical text, and from this particular moment of our lives right here in this watershed, this bioregion, this Elkhart County? I think that the four horsemen of Revelation are Dr. King's triple evils, plus one more. So you have that first horse, that white horse of conquest. Conquest, that valuing of some people's lives over others. Dominating their culture, taking lands and resources. That's racism. A way of valuing white ways of knowing while not listening to the different approaches that people bring through their different experiences on this planet. That second horse, that red horse of war, making people kill each other and involving many in its mechanics. That second horse comes out with a sword, taking peace from the earth. That's what war does as we watch ongoing wars in Syria. Wars don't seem to end anymore. As drones fly and we get more and more distant from the impact of the bombs, this is militarism. That second horse. That third horse then, that horse that comes out, it's a black horse. The rider's got a scale. It's measuring wages. This is a horse of economic exploitation. The rider says, here, work all day for some oats. Work all day for some barley. moving the prices around so it's difficult for the people to have that denarius to pay for just the basics of life, while at the same time telling the people, don't touch the oil and the wine. Those are luxury goods at this time. Dr. King called it taking the necessities from the masses to give luxuries to the classes. This widening gap between the rich and the poor. Not only anymore the gap between the 1% and the 99%, but even within that 1%, 0.4 of the 1%, the super rich, have more than 61% of the rest of the world's population. That black horse. So the horse of conquest and racism, the horse of war and materialism, the horse of economic exploitation, materialism. So what's that fourth horse? That fourth horse is a pale green, or in Spanish, it's yellow. It's lost its chlorophyll. This is not just a human mess. Think that pale green and yellow horse represents the environment and our impact, and the impact of our way of living on it? Because we are seeing extinctions at an alarming rate. And this loss of biodiversity also means loss of medicine, creativity, beauty. And you felt it this past week. The disruption caused to daily life because of the amount of trash that we produce. And then when it catches on fire, the toxins that are released into the air. The children needing to be kept inside. The rhythms canceled. Death follows this horse closely, is what Revelation says. So King in 1967, and those who are sounding the alarm today are the prophets, the dreamers, writing and crafting and unmasking so that we can deal with the wounds that our body is facing. At Christian Peacemaker Teams, we have the opportunity to work and walk alongside some of those prophets. And some of them live in northern Iraq, just east of Nineveh, just northwest of the Tigris and the Euphrates. These are real places that hold ancient stories and wisdom. And they're under the threat of cross-border bombing from Iran, from Turkey, pushing out the mountainous Kurdish population that lives there. And as the Kurdish agricultural population was forced to run to the cities for refuge from these bombs, they were told that the government could not protect them should they want to return to their land. But they went to the government offices and called Christian Peacemaker Teams to come alongside them as an international group of friends that could help leverage what was going on, that could help unmask and expose the violence that was happening. And they said to the government officers, we must go back to the land. You see, if we don't go back to the land, we cannot plant. And if we do not plant, then we will have nothing to harvest. If we have nothing to harvest, then we will die. So we will take our chances, and we might get hit by a bomb or step on unmarked landmines, but we have to go back. We have no interest in becoming urban poor, to live on the margins. We want to return to the land that raised us. Courageously then, as they returned, some of the village groups saw, when they got back, that oil companies had begun to speculate. One had already begun construction of a drill pad. And the elders gathered and said to each other, how did they know it was safe to be here if the government could not offer us any protection? What is our displacement really about? And so they sat there as a frontline community, working together about how they would deal with these oil companies, which offered them some cash compensation to some groups, and here a community had to sit between Iraq and a hard place, I would say. A place no community should be in. In other places, the company said, well, this land doesn't technically belong to you, so you have no say. And they said, well, maybe. Maybe it doesn't belong to us. But we belong to this land. So we will be here. This is resonant with 1 Kings 21, Naboth's vineyard. King Ahab wants to expand his winter palace and tells Naboth, just hand me over your little vegetable garden. I'll give you cash money and you can get out. And Naboth says, that's like you asking me to sell my grandmother. Never. I belong to this land. Deep wisdom from the biblical text, and these folks are mobilizing it through their faith of Islam to say, we're here, and the earth is full of the glory of God, and we wish not to exploit it. And although it's tempting to become a little richer at this moment, we know what happens to the water when the oil is drilled and the need for that water pressure to come up and the poison that seeps into that water. We will not trade our water for oil. Those communities there are doing their job on the front line of the environment movement. And Christian Peacemaker teams always ask the community, what do you want us to say to those back home? And they said, look, we're not going to trade our water for oil, and we're praying for you that you don't either. Until the travel ban initially started, we were able to bring some of the members from those mountainous regions of Iraqi Kurdistan to Standing Rock to participate together in that movement, which is part of the body that was calling out and saying, ouch, stop, this is wounding us. We're not sure if we'll be able to continue that exchange. But you can go on a delegation to visit them, brothers and sisters of faith that are holding their convictions, that are holding their family values. And one of their family values is to protect nature. These are the people that CPT has a chance to walk alongside. And it's in this context that the body of Christ can learn and grow and stretch and weep. And we are there because of things like the shared conviction that we focused on, that we're focusing on today, which reads as such. The Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all areas of life so that we become peacemakers who renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice, and share our possessions with those in need. That's the conviction. And I didn't even plan this, but I just feel like part of that conviction lines up with each apocalyptic horse. In the face of conquest and racism, we renounce violence and oppression. In the face of war and militarism, we love our enemies. And if we are the ones that are called enemies, we know we deserve love. In the face of materialism and economic exploitation, we share our possessions with those in need, and we ask for what we need. And in the face of ecological disaster, we seek justice for the planet and for those most affected by the rising waters, the scorched earth, the population crunch. These are our convictions. It can be hard to take all of this in, I know. You might have personal pain. Pain in your family, in your community. If that is you today, in a moment of intense pain, you have the permission to sit still. You have the permission to rest. You have the permission to ask for help, to be the part of the body that calls out, I need to be seen. I'm so glad, for example, right now that the Jubilee House can be a place of refuge and how our community has come together in the wake of the recent tragedy of the murder-suicide. And the way that this congregation and the flexibility of those living there made space for our body. And I've been grieving too. MJ Sharp was a dear, dear friend of mine. Yeah. So we can sit. We can sit, and others can bring the healing. We can trust this 1 Corinthians 12 body. Often what happens, you know, as you have pain for a long time, or if part of the body is neglected, it can go numb. Or sometimes we ignore the pain and mask it. But let us not go numb to the pain of the body. Your body, the church's body, the community. And especially if you are healthy right now, take some time to go beyond your comfort zone to get close to the pain. Because your ministry of presence is enough. CPT goes where it's invited, and we're not there to fix it. We're there to be alongside. We know that Jesus, the great physician, is already at work, and our response is a part of that healing. Your response is a part of that healing, your ministry of presence, of saying yes to these invitations. Because at this moment, as Dandelion disciples, it's not only about asking, how is my body doing? How is our human body doing? But how are the streams of Elkhart doing? What is the quality of the air? And there is a group that's been getting together here in Elkhart in many iterations over the years. I remember we were talking about this back in 2004 with the Healing Arts House and beyond. And now getting together with Elkhart Environmental Health Group, looking at what it means to be disciples, to be people alive here right now in this watershed, in this bioregion. Knowing that when it rains as hard as last night, there's relief from the burning, but also the combined sewer overflow and everything we flush and drain goes right into those rivers. We're between a rock and a hard place. So let's come together as a body, continue to support one another. And this means doing this work with people from different walks of life, different areas of the city. So keep up those citywide conversations and continue to ask, not only, how are you doing, neighbor? But how is the health of the land around you? How is the soil? Is it good and deep and rich? And as this happens, it's almost like that tingling sensation, you know, when a muscle goes from numbness to feeling, that discomfort. But that's a turning point. That's an apocalypse. It's an apocalypse in your own life. Unmasking old wounds to see what's there, to allow the oxygen of life and blood to flow again, to point you towards health. Spend some time with others. Share your vision, your conviction of what a renewed community feels like. Yeah. That way, as these triple giants roam around and these four horsemen ride, yelling, come on, to their forces, we can stand up and say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We can work out our salvation together alongside communities from Iraq to Goshen. We know that the suffering of the body is real, but we can be convicted with these shared convictions. That suffering will not have the last word. Let your faith conviction lead you to restore creation. Let it lead you to notice the moral mushrooms coming up. I guess it's morel, but it's moral right now. The moral mushrooms. Let it grow your morality. Your ability to show up. Because like the writers of Revelation, we need to be able to see beyond his dying sun. To see the vision of golden sails and dandelions billowing on the wind. With conviction to see that new world coming where everyone is free and where all are seen as God's people in justice, love, and peace. Amen.
Blue hymnal number 323, Beyond a Dying Sun. Those who are able, please stand.
Please turn in your bulletins, the front panel, to the responsive reading and respond with the dark print. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. Because of your power at work in the resurrection of Christ, we declare that the Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all areas of life, so we become peacemakers. Because of your power at work in the resurrection of Christ, we declare as peacemakers, we renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice, and share our possessions with those in need. May the grace of God so fill us. May the love of Christ so embrace us. May the presence of the Spirit so empower us that we may live to the glory and praise of God. Alleluia. Amen.